Hey everybody, welcome to Lending a Hand. We've got a really special throwback episode here today from a few months ago. I have not put this one out there in the podcast world, so I'm really excited for you to hear it. It's with a good colleague of mine, Greg Whitus. He's a marketer. He is a 6'8" Texan, and he actually lives in the Charlotte, North Carolina region now. But this is a very valuable podcast for marketers or for business owners who are trying to grow their online presence. And shoot, if you've heard this podcast before, y'all, you know that you don't have to be a business owner to want to grow and see the benefits of growing your online network. So I think you'll find a lot of value in this show. As always, we're trying to lend a hand, so make sure to reach out to us on Anchor, send us a voice message, or you can always add us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. We've got some really exciting episodes coming here in the next few weeks, including a YouTube channel that should not disappoint. Looking forward to this conversation, everybody. Check it out. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lending a Hand. My next guest call-in, he is from Charlotte, North Carolina. He's a marketing professional. He's got a few years on me in the in terms of the marketing world and in terms of years on earth. Greg Whitus, welcome to Lending a Hand. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, Keaton. Thanks for having me on this evening.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time here. It's always nice to connect. I've known you for a little over a year now. We've worked together at Diversified Robotic. We've talked social media. We've talked podcasting. So I'm excited you came on.
Well, thanks. I'm looking forward to this. You know, I've learned quite a bit from you in the marketing social media world, and I'm excited to do this today.
Hey, and that's kind of what I want to talk about, you know. For the listeners, you know, tell them a little about yourself. You know, what year did you graduate college, Greg?
Oh, man, that's a great question. No, I graduated in 1991.
Yes, I was born in 90, yeah. Brother.
Yeah, so graduated in 91 with a BBA in marketing from TCU, Texas Christian University.
Yes, I like TCU. They've had a good football team for a while. So
yeah, but not when I was there. When I was there, we were terrible. So it's been a renewal, a rebirth in the last, 10, 15 years, which has been great to see.
Were they in the Southwest Conference when you were there?
Yeah, and actually, I used to detest when the Arkansas Razorbacks would come rolling into town. I was there in the old Southwest Conference days with Arkansas, UT, Texas A&M. Great era of sports in the state of Texas.
It really was. And yeah. I'm glad that, you know, Arkansas could at least be a small part of it, you know, in like 64 when we won the championship.
Yes.
But yeah, we could go on and on about some TCU, Arkansas Razorback football or basketball or anything, but I'm definitely interested in, you know, what you learned. Or obviously you're a lifelong learner, but being in school, you know, I like to think it's a time where you learn the most in your life. Mm-hmm. Now there's a statistic, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but it says from the ages of 4, 5, and 6 years old that you learn, no matter who you are, no matter how much you learn for the rest of your life, you could become Albert Einstein. You will learn 75% of all the information that you'll ever learn in those 3 years. Now, we're not talking about ages 4, 5, and 6, but I'm curious what you really took away from marketing in those years. I'm guessing like 86, 87 to 91 or so.
Yeah, 87 to 91. It's interesting. I mean, a lot of marketing, you know, if you look at a lot of the fundamentals are the same today as they were back then, but in other ways, there's just a huge difference between what I was taught with marketing and how marketing is practiced in today's world. And what I mean by that is this, is when I graduated college, you know, when I was studying marketing at TCU, you know, we learned about the 4 P's or 3 P's and a D, depending on how you were taught, which you got product, price, promotion, and place or distribution. So that's your 3 P's and a D or your 4 P's. And promotion was just one component, one piece of marketing. But the other things you looked at was your product. Do I have the right type of product to go to market? You know, so you would do, you know, all your market research, et cetera, around that piece of it. Price, you had to make sure that, okay, my pricing structure was set accordingly. you know, distribution. How am I going to get my product to market? And then last but not least was promotion. And promotion, like I said, it was one of the four pillars of marketing. Well, today, when people think marketing, what they think of is promotion. They think of lead generation. They think of a variety of selling. So marketing, that term has changed over the last, you know, 25, 26, 27, 28 years.
That. I'm trying to change how I tell people that I'm a marketer. Instead of saying a marketer, I'm starting to say that I'm a professional attention getter.
Yeah. And that's what, and in a lot of ways, that's what marketing has become. When you look at it, and the tools that are used today are different than the tools that we used back when I was in school. I mean, back when I was in school, you looked at, okay, what were your different mediums? You had print, right? You had television and you had radio, and that was it. And so you designed your marketing, you designed your promotions, or you had direct mail as well. Excuse me. I forgot about direct mail, you know, but those were the primary ways of getting your message out. Well, you look at today and you look at all the different avenues that exist. You know, you look at, for example, you look at your major social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. You know, you and I have talked, and okay, if you want to use these four mediums, you have to use them in different ways, right? But beyond that, you've got the web. And then after the web, you know, to make your website more effective, you've got SEO, you've got SEM, you've got all of these things that just did not exist 20 years ago. So marketing is much more complex today than it was back then as well.
You can thank the internet for that.
I can. It's revolutionized business. You know, the old saying was, hey, you know what, I'm just going to hang a shingle on my front door and I'll open my business from home. You know, I'm going to hang a shingle out there. Well, now, you know what, I'm just going to, all you got to do is create a web page, right? Create a page on LinkedIn, create a page on Facebook for the most part, and you can add Instagram and others later. But you do those things, right? And then you technically, you have quote unquote a business now. And a business that can be seen from around the world.
I would argue you don't even need a website. You know, Lending a Hand, we're working on a website now, but we've already, you know, we've made money through without having a website. I get what you mean is it's right there at your fingertips. It's a click away. You just got to you don't even need the shingle anymore. You just got to have a website.
You have to have a website. Yeah.
It's an interesting time to be alive. And every time I feel like I say that out loud, I'm like, wow, the internet is only really 25 years old. I say that out loud and I'm like, wow, we're lucky, you know?
Right.
And
oh, definitely
like that because it's so new. But I think in 100 years or 200 years, I really believe the internet will still be around, and it's practical to be around. You know, it's not like something's going to go away. It's very practical to realize like we're always going to want to talk to people now.
Mm-hmm.
We are right now in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Yeah, exactly. And if you think about it, I mean, what the internet has done in some ways is it's leveled the playing field.
Yes.
Because anyone can be an entrepreneur now. If you think about it, anyone can start their own business online, right? And if they're savvy enough marketing-wise, they can grow that business. So it's a level of the playing field. You don't have to have the tens of thousands of dollars to start a business anymore. You don't have to go into debt like you used to have to do. You know, those days are behind us. So it's really, like I said, it's leveled the playing field. It's made business accessible for everyone.
And that's probably a better way to put it, but leveling the playing field, I definitely know what you mean. And I always hear, you know, numerous people who talk about the internet say that, and it's right, but it's also wrong because there's so many fake entrepreneurs out there. And I dealt with this for a little bit, and I've dealt with it all the way up to now. It's like, what consists of an entrepreneur? Well, in my opinion, you have to make money, or you can't just say you're an entrepreneur and not make any money and go to your day job and do that. You actually have to make money through a business.
Right.
And it's a lot harder than it sounds, but ultimately, I don't think, you know, I don't like to necessarily talk about the negative, but the positive of this is that it is very possible and practical. A couple of more P's right there for us.
Right.
For anybody to do. So, yeah. Hey, you mentioned the four P's. Product, price, place, promotion.
Right.
You and I, you know, we're very familiar working together. We've worked at Diversified Robotic for about a year together. You were actually, you know, my superior.
Right.
I'm curious, you know, a little self-awareness. I'm going to be selfish here. What did, you know, you learn, or how did you perceive me from Diversified Robotic, from us working together for that long?
Oh my gosh. You know, I would say you, Keaton, you are a phenomenally talented marketer, and you're a great teacher. And what I mean by that is this. In some ways, I was a little bit of a dinosaur when I stepped into DR. You know, my background, I was in technology and marketing. And then about 12, 13 years ago, I stepped out. I went into the ministry for 11 years. And then I came back into the sales world and the marketing world and technology world. And I went, oh my gosh, so much has changed. And especially when it came to understanding the power of, you know, of social media.
Yeah.
The power of videos, the power of podcasts, the power of influencers, and so on. I had no idea how powerful that was in the world of commerce, in the world of business, but now I do. And all of that, I really attribute to a bunch of your, you know, our conversations going back and forth with one another. And so to me, you're a rising star in this world. You're a rising star with this new frontier in marketing. In marketing a product, marketing a service, and building a business. And so, I think it's been awesome working with you. You know, in some ways, you're like a unbridled horse. We had to rein you in a couple times. You know, Keaton, you're out over your skis a little bit. You know, let's rein Keaton back in. But I'd much rather have someone like that, someone that was unbelievable, enthusiastic, had incredible talent, knew what he was doing, right? I'd much rather have to reel someone back in rather than take someone that was not talented and try to motivate them and teach them and move them forward.
Try to motivate them to get out of their comfort zone.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And I appreciate the kind words. That definitely means a lot. You know, we had a lot of hurdles ourselves as a team, mm-hmm. at ER, and you know, it's still ongoing, but it's a work in progress. We're learning.
Exactly. And DR is, I mean, it's a startup. It's a new company.
Yeah.
And when you have a new company, there's going to be times when you have, I mean, things are going to pop up. But overall, I loved my time at DR. I thought it was a phenomenal company. I see the potential for what they're doing with automation. I think it is huge.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like almost like a you know, a child at times. And what I mean by that is not a negative sense, but, you know, a child, you know, it's got to learn to walk before they can run. You know, they crawl, walk, run. And in some ways, DR is going through those same growing pains. But I think they're at that point now where they're transitioning from that walking to that running side. And I would not be surprised in the next, you know, 12 to 24 months that that company just explodes. Because they got good leadership and they got a great product.
Yeah. And you do have to have a great, any product or service, you have to be, it has to be good.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I personally, and I have no problem saying this on my podcast and putting it out there in the world. And I work currently for DR, but at first I struggled because I didn't get to see the product enough.
Mm-hmm.
And now, after a year later and, you know, a lot of time and patience and due diligence put in, I've seen the product more and more, and I'm very confident that it will catch on. That's why I'm staying with them. But also as kind of a side gig right now, you know, you got to make your money in. You got to diversify your portfolio, as they say.
Right.
So I'm just hoping to stay on there, on the team, help out when I need, and you know, reap those benefits in 12 to 24 months if it happens. But
right.
Yeah, that and lots of conference calls we've had over this.
Yeah, definitely. And but you know, it's interesting. I was reading I just picked up a book on my Kindle. I started reading. I think it was yesterday. And one of the things that the gentleman talks about in this book is this idea that successful people, wealthy people today, that they have on average 6 to 7 different sources of income.
Yeah.
So the days of having a single source of income, one revenue stream, a job, those days are behind us.
They really are.
Yeah, because when you look at it, you know, wage increases not keeping up with inflation. So therefore, the net is the middle class is continually being paid less.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to look and say, okay, I just cannot invest all my time and effort and rely on one single source of income. I've got to diversify my portfolio, as you said, and try, okay, what are six other things that I can do that can start bringing in revenue? That's and really so that great. If one dies up, you know what? I've got all these things over there. Tim Ferriss talks about this a lot, and I totally agree with him. You know, that's the key to being a success today and moving forward, is you cannot have all your eggs in one basket. You know, I have two daughters, 22 and 17, and I'm trying to teach them, you know what, to truly be successful, to set yourself up in life in the future, is work for yourself. Don't work for someone else. Try to work for yourself. You know, find that passion, that product that you're passionate about, and move forward with that. Because the reality is, it's difficult. It's not impossible, but it's difficult to find financial security working for someone nowadays. It's just, it's hard to do.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think working for yourself, and success have different meanings for everybody. And,
right,
you know, just like marketing, the reason I don't like using that word is because we feel like we're automatically selling somebody out. Marketers are ultimately, they're kind of like psychologists. They understand people very well. That's why they're able to sell and market them things. But one thing that, you know, I've been personally trying to do is, you talk about like diversifying your portfolio, having success, you know, it's defined differently for everybody. So even if you do have one job out there that makes you $72,000 a year, that's a healthy living. And I'm not bashing that by any means, because you may love your job, you may love the people you work with, but the fact remains is that if you lost that one source of income, that might put you in a tough position. And I think that the studies I recently read on LinkedIn, they said 85% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. And I've been for most of the years of my life, and trying to still get out of that hole. But that's such a telling sign, because as times continue to change, you know, I think it's kind of like Darwin said, you know, I'm pretty sure Darwin said this, only the strong survive.
Right.
And
exactly.
And it's not that you're weak if you make 72 or 68 or $44,000 a year, all very livable incomes. It's that I personally think, me personally, that every individual, whether you're listening or watching or whatever, they have passions in life. They have interests that are outside of work, even if they love work. Like, you know, for me, basketball. Some of the things I do at work relate to basketball, but a lot of them don't. And so, you know, success is a difficult word, because it can mean a lot of different things. It doesn't necessarily mean money. You can
make
$1,000 and be successful. Make $1,000 a month and consider your business a success, because you can also have another job on top of that and add 12 grand extra.
Right, but it's beyond that, and I appreciate you bringing that up. That, you know, when I talk about success, I'm not just talking about financial dollars, right? There's other elements. Is it having control of your own life?
That's
it. You know, having the freedom to do what you want to do when you want to do it. Having the resources to be available to do that, not just financial resources, but the time and so on and so forth.
Curious how many people you talk to on a daily basis. I know you're on LinkedIn just like me, and we do a lot of work there. You know, I'll tag you in this post, make sure that people find you on LinkedIn, Greg. But do you come across a lot of people that feel that way?
You know, it's interesting. I'm starting to come across more, you know, and I think, and it's funny, but it's some my generation, but it's primarily your generation, that millennial generation, right? That looks at life differently. I've got a 22-year-old, you know, and she's wonderful. But right now for her, she works hard for a year, year and a half, saves up money, and then goes and travels in Europe. You know, to her, that's being successful. That's what she wants to do. And I'm like, okay, I can live with that. I wish I'd have done that when I was 22 years old. You know, and so I think, again, it is different for each generation. And what I mean by that is, I can talk to my father-in-law, for example, who I adore, who's one of the smartest men I know, but he grew up, you know, he's a baby boomer. And so he grew up with this idea that, you know what, financial stability, financial success, you know, that our success equals financial stability. You know, the more money you have, the more successful you you are. But you got to remember, he was a generation right after the Great Depression. And so for them, safety and security was found in resources. It is the idea that, you know, I went and worked for a company. I worked with a company for 20, 30, 40 years. Then I would retire with my pension, right? That mentality existed. That's what security was for that generation. My generation, that began to disappear. Your generation, that doesn't exist at all. You know, this idea of a pension, working with a company, getting a pension, it's just not there.
Yeah.
And so each generation looks at security. Each generation looks at success a little bit differently.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of our generation, not that 401ks are bad, because 401k is great, but, you know, one of my friends told me the other day, he's like, man, I laughed, and I'm not going to say who this is by any means, but he was like, yeah, if my 401k plans out, then I should make an extra $33,000 a year in 10 years, or not a year, an extra, just total $33,000. And I kind of looked, and I was like, okay. I know this guy makes more money than me. $33,000 extra net worth is not a lot to him or to me. I mean, a year maybe, but that's not a year. He was talking about total and his investment, his 401k. And I was like, wow, and I'm from Arkansas, granted. We're still a little behind on the time, but I think that's a really interesting point that we're diving into more and more is like, what, you know, because like you said, your father-in-law, he was right after the Great Depression. And unfortunately, tied to that was the lack of internet. They didn't have internet. It wasn't
right. Even
that, you know? No. And so for the people that, this is kind of something that bothers me, the people that always go back and say, well, what if we didn't have this? What if we didn't have the internet? What are you going to do when you don't have your calculator? And I just don't like to think like that, because that's such a negative end of the world scenario. And I'm not saying it's not a correct way, but me personally, I just kind of roll my eyes and look the other way and say, you know what? That's a worry. And that's playing defense. And I don't know. I think a lot of millennials are not necessarily, and we're young, granted, we're in our 20s, early 30s. So we're maybe a little naive, who knows, about the marketplace. We haven't had that Great Depression or that 2008 hit yet. So it'll be interesting. You know, you can never just predict the future, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because I think we're living in a great time to build your personal brand and to make money off of it in a variety of ways. And that's why I always tell people, you can make money on the internet. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you enjoy watching or what you like to read or what you like at all. You can still do and make money, because we're all humans. We all like we don't all like similar things, but there's always a person out there that likes something that you like. You know, I'm a wrestling nerd. I love WWE wrestling, The Rock and all that. And so there's a big, and many people make fun of me for this, but that's okay. They all say, you know, it's fake. You know, I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But these guys are also athletes. And
oh yeah,
there's still a whole community of a billion people they just surpassed on social media that love wrestling. And so it doesn't matter what it is. That's just kind of an odd little weird topic that I'm very passionate about. So, hey, Greg, appreciate you coming on the podcast again, man. I know we're kind of going over time, but is there anything that you want to leave the listeners with? Any way that you can lend a hand? That's kind of the premise of the show, help out. Anything that you want to ask me, feel free. Anything at all. I'm always about self-awareness or
understanding
how we can better the world, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, let me ask you this question here, and I'm going to shock you with this one, Keaton. Okay. What do you think of Ronda Rousey breaking the fourth wall with her promos lately?
Oh, man.
How'd you like that?
Are you a wrestling fan?
I cannot confirm nor deny that I have watched wrestling in the past and have checked out websites that have some of that information available on there. So, okay. No, I don't really watch it. I don't watch it. Let me put it this way. I used to watch it religiously when I was growing up. I'm going to show my age. I'm talking, and you're going back to the Von Erichs, and you're talking about the Freebirds were the heels. And
oh, man.
I mean, that's like my age, but I've always had this weird, you know, this weird tie to that kind of entertainment. And, yeah. you know, so I just, but Ronda Rousey joins WWE. It's like, okay, wow, this MMA fighter, I got to follow this and see where this is going.
And I'm guessing by the fourth wall, what exactly do you mean to that? Just to clarify.
Well, what it means is bringing reality into the fiction.
Okay. So that's interesting that you said that because what just happened 2 weeks ago with Ronda Rousey, I don't know if you've heard of the man, Becky Lynch.
Right.
He's this sensation right now in wrestling. Women are the most popular thing. They're more popular. They're about to headline the main event of WrestleMania. First time in history.
Right.
Supposed to show you the power of women right now in our country, in our world, which is great. I'm so happy for it. Women have a lot of great qualities. But what she did about 2 weeks ago was because this girl, this woman, this man, her name is The Man, Becky Lynch. Mm-hmm. She's not a man at all. She's very beautiful, but she calls herself The Man.
Right.
And it's awesome. But anyways, for the past few months, she's been harassing, so to speak, Ronda Rousey on social media, making funny posts, making this, making that. A couple weeks ago, they finally got introduced together in the ring. And Ronda, Greg, beat the shit out of her.
Right.
And I'm not talking fake. She was punching her and like had to have security off of her. So yes, it was reality brought into kind of like a fictional mode, a storyline mode. But man, as watching that, you just felt like, whoa, is this really happening? And it took me back to the days like where I knew when I was a kid and I didn't necessarily know wrestling was fake. And now we know it's a story, but it was so cool. But I'm excited to see where it goes. I think they've got a lot of big things planned, but I love it, man. That's a great.
Yeah, well, like I said, I told you I was going to stun you by that question. You know, and I've seen some of your tweets on Twitter, and I'm like, okay, he's live tweeting events. He's doing these things, so I'm going to shock Keaton with a question from the wrestling world.
Appreciate it, man. I do.
But you got to know your audience. You got to know who you're talking to.
Exactly. And I know we've got a lot of people that will be very invested in that question. So
great. Yeah, it can spark some controversy. Yeah. No, I think that's it. I think, you know, the only other thing I'd like to just tell your listeners and tell you, and I'm going to invite you onto my podcast coming up soon. I've got a couple different podcasts that I'm starting up. One is more business focused, which is this idea of an MBA for today. Yeah, really, again, just how business has changed, how technology has changed business, how technology has changed marketing, but bringing in thought leaders in the business world and bring you in to discuss marketing and sales when I get to that point in the podcast series. And then the other podcast that I'm starting is one called Starting Over at 50, which is what I'm doing with my life. You know, you look at great companies, you look at great leaders, they reinvent themselves every 5 to 7 years. And I'm in that phase right now where, you know what, I reinvented myself and I went into the ministry and I moved overseas and I lived in Europe. Came back here. Yeah, I lived in France for about 3 years. Lyon, France. Great time. Loved every minute of living in Europe and just met some of the most wonderful people I've ever met in my life. Just people from literally around the globe. but then, you know, but this idea of I'm in that next phase of life, restarting, you know, reinventing myself once again. And I want to kind of document this through a podcast as well as bring in others that might be going through the same things that I'm going through or have, you know, they're a little bit further down, you know, down the trail than I am and talking to them and learning from them. So just a couple things coming down the pipe in the next few weeks.
Most definitely. I'll make sure to tag a couple of those and, you know, have people reach out to you and tag you on social media and everything. I think that's a really interesting idea. You know how I feel about documenting your life. A lot of people don't do it because they don't see monetary or just value in it in general. They say, oh, well, I'm never going to be Joe Rogan, or I'm not going to be Gary Vee or Tony Robbins or whoever's podcast or YouTube show you listen to or watch. Most people just don't do it because they don't think that they can be them. And I, newsflash, you're not going to be them. You're going to be Greg Vitus.
Exactly.
And if you document it, I feel like it's playing the long-term game, which is never a bad idea. It's always good to be patient in life. Patience is the key to happiness, to success, to all the things we've talked about, man.
Right. No, you're exactly right. And again, I'm down this journey and there's a lot of people like me. And, you know, you and I talked briefly before we came on, man, when you hit 50 years old, your world changes in a lot of ways. And one of the ways it changes is finding jobs and so on, because you're older, you're a dinosaur, and the company can find someone like Keaton Linder, younger, you know, more energy, more enthusiastic, and so on and so forth. So
I'm going through a little bit of a career change myself since I've been in college for 8 long years. I'm like kind of reinventing myself. I'm really trying to get out there. I just had a very interesting discussion on Facebook about this, about college and being a quote unquote waste of time. I don't think it's a full waste of time. I think it's just, there's a lot of prerequisites that are kind of wastes, but anyways, that's a topic for a different day. Can't wait.
Yeah, definitely.
On your show, man.
All right.
Thanks for coming on, Greg. I appreciate it.
Hey, Keaton, thank you so much. I appreciate it as well.
Yeah.